हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, chapter 1, The Spiritual Masters, page 30. There are different grades and standards of prosperity. The standard of comfort and happiness conceived by a common man engaged in material labor is the lowest grade of happiness, for it is in relationship with the body. The highest standard of such bodily comfort is achieved by a fruit of worker, who by pious activities reaches the plane of heaven, or the kingdom of the creative God with their delegated powers. But the conception of comfortable life in heaven is insignificant in comparison to the happiness enjoyed in the impersonal Brahman. And this Brahmananda, the spiritual bliss derived from impersonal Brahman, is like the water in the hoof print of a calf compared to the ocean of love of Godhead. When one develops pure love for Krishna, for the Lord, he derives an ocean of transcendental happiness from the association of the personality of Godhead. To qualify oneself to reach this stage of life is the highest perfection. Right, so these different levels of happiness, so they're looking at it from the material platform. So from the material platform, then this Brahmananda will be quite a lot. Right? So, but what's not understood is that all they're dealing with is just the unlimited aspect of the Lord. So, yeah, whenever you're absorbed in something, it fully catches your attention, and you have that feeling that it's there forever or everything like that, you're dealing with the Brahman aspect of the Lord, because that's what's pervading everything. So then the Brahman platform means that you're just always experiencing that. And since that's all there is, it'll be quite intense and quite full. But you're only dealing with that eternity aspect. You're not dealing with chit and ananda. Right? So it can't compare. Therefore, they said that the size of a calf's hoof print compared to the ocean of love of Godhead. So the personality, being in touch with the personality, that was what gives the highest happiness. So bhakti is the only way to get to that point. Right? And that's the natural point of the living entity. So even we say, oh no, but Brahman's enough. But it's not for the living entity, because the living entity is not just Sat, he's also Chit and Ananda. So despite the philosophical wranglings that may go on, that it's not enough. Right? So that makes sense. You know, just like, let's say it's been a very busy day, things have been really crazy. So then if you're in this nice little private, let's say, nicely organized little garden, right? So being there, you'll feel, oh, this is great, I could stay here forever. And then after about a half an hour, you know, you relax that, you get hungry. But there's nothing to eat there. You're tired, there's no place to sleep. You know, there's no one to talk to, nothing else to do but enjoy just the peacefulness of sitting there as opposed to the craziness that went on before in the day. So that's the point. Brahman doesn't have anything to offer the living entity. Right, there's a little peace from getting out of the material world, but you can't consider that's a solution. Because the idea is I get out of the craziness. Sounds quite effective. Yeah, good breeze, cool, yeah, it's really working well. So, the... So this idea that Brahman can be the top and can satisfy the living entity who's a person. And so then to say, no, Brahman's the top and we're not people either. Right? In fact, we don't exist, right? You know, that's just so comforting. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that there's a misdirected idea of happiness in karma, there's likewise a misdirected happiness with jnana. And it's just as misdirected. It's not the, oh, it means if you're comparing it, that the position of liberation is closer to the spiritual platform of service, on one sense, it's just the situation. But there's no activity, no identity, nothing, so you can't actually function in the relationship. Well, the other one, you're accepting the relationship, just you're applying it in the wrong place. So, you know, some reason. Yeah, so that's the point. So, in one sense, the karmis are closer because they don't have a problem with the personal, just they don't know about transcendental personal. While the jnanis, they think that they know spiritual and they say that there's, you know, nothing there. Right? It's just an emptiness. Right? And it's just like always when you have that big emptiness in your heart that just seems like it's, you know, unending. And that's, you know, it's the perfectional state of your life, right? You know, everybody longs for that moment, right? And so that's what they're taking as their happiness. Nothing. It's not. So we have to realize that the living entity, being a person, they need to function in a personal environment. Just the personal environment of the material world, where everything's about the secondary, is not going to do. But it means if you have all prosperity and everything like that, then people get disgruntled. Right? If there's no prosperity, they're disgruntled thinking, no, we don't have prosperity. That's why we're sad. But then when things become peaceful and they become prosperous, they're still not happy. Because there isn't anything here. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say we have no food. And, you know, and all we know about is that people that have food have from our perspective, these imitation foodstuffs. You know, made out of plastic or foam rubber or, you know, whatever it is. You want to make it out of cardboard or paper mache or, you know, something. You know, it's all made out of that. So you have all the, what we call as regular food, but it's made out of all this. So the poor person doesn't have any of that, and they think, no, if I had that, then I'll be happy. But the person that has that is also not happy, because what are you going to do with a paper mache sandwich? Right? Yeah, so that's the problem. Okay. One should try to purchase a ticket to go back home, back to Godhead. The price of such a ticket is one's intense desire for it, which is not easily awakened, even if one continuously performs pious activities for thousands of lives. So in other words, piety won't awaken the intense desire for devotional development. Right? It's only in the association of devotees that it will develop. So desiring that, that's how it'll work. Does that make sense? So it's that will take us back. That's the ticket. That we're not, you know, we're avoiding all improper things. That's just part of us being focused. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. The proper with the mundane, it distracts us from the spiritual. But if we just think excellent manipulation of the material environment is going to get us this ticket, it won't. Mm-hmm. Right? Trying to deal with the environment around us in connection with service to Krishna, then that's positive. But the point is why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. Right? It's to please Krishna. And so to please Krishna, then that means that's where the focus has to be. That's where the desire is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So these secondary things, they're only value in as much as they are useful to get something done. Right? Let us say I want to make some toast. Okay? So the goal is to get some toast. So now what do I require? A toaster. So the toaster only has as much value as it can be in making toast. You know, so if it's one of those ones that, you know, it doesn't work, you put it in and never toast it or anything like that, it doesn't have any value. Therefore, you're going to use a proper quality of toaster, right? You also have to know how to use it. You know, things like it should be plugged in, you know, that the toast goes in those little slots. So you have to push the lever down. You know, it doesn't have city, so you can't just tell it to toast the toast. Yeah, you know, you have to do it. You know, so having these basic knowledges, then it'll work, but it's only as valuable in as much as it will get you toast. Does that make sense? So therefore, all the things connected with the body, mind, and words, their value is only as much as they're useful in serving Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So it's not about a prestige thing. Oh, we got a fabulous toaster. My toaster is better than your toaster. And stuff like that. No, it's just a matter of its service to Krishna. Because what does it matter? Right? Why would it be better that my toaster is better than your toaster? Right? My toaster doesn't have any other weird kind of meanings these days, does it? No? Okay. It's safe. Okay. So, because then it's a matter of false ego. Right? And so, it's about me. But the point is, if it's about service to Krishna, shouldn't everybody have a good toaster? Because it's all going to be offered to Krishna. Right? So then my toast is better than your toaster, so I'm a better devotee? What has that got to do with anything? It's the devotion. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the principle is here, is that the intense desire to please Krishna, serve Krishna in the association of devotees, that's the important element. And then according to our nature, whatever it happens to be now, because it's still not us. Mm-hmm. Right? We're very good at things, not very good at things, good at some things, not good at other things. That's all just based on our previous karma. And so whatever it is, we're going to use it. Because whatever we think is so fabulous, there's someone better. You know, that's it. You know, it's just the saying that, you know, no matter how expert you are, there's an Asian that's better than you. But there's also, even if you're the most expert Asian, there's another Asian that's better than you. You know, it's just the way it works. There's always someone better. You know, and then there's Indra. You know, he's going to be better at anything that we do. He's going to be better at it. And then he's jealous of those that are from the Satyaloka. They live longer. They're more powerful. They're more detached. They just couldn't care less about his scene. You know? Like that. And so then there's always someone better. And even Lord Brahma, then he's very proud because he's the top in the universe. And then they, you know, in Dwarka he goes, and then they tell him, you know, which Brahma? And then he finds out he's the smallest Brahma. All the other Brahmas, you know, we're thinking, wow, four heads, woo. You know, there's ones with 10 heads, 100 heads, 1,000 heads, millions of heads. Like that. Some serious, how you say? Yeah, it's a strong neck there, right? So there's always someone better. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it goes. So it just keeps going. It just always goes like that. So it gets up to Krishna, and then Krishna considers the devotee better. So that's the whole point, is that whatever it is, it's not something to be proud of and all this. It's just something to engage. That's what you have. Just like you go into the store and you see something, you reach in your pocket. How much money you have, that's what you can buy. Right? you know, or whichever card you haven't maxed out yet. Right? So then, you know, that's the one, that's how much you can use. Does that make sense? That's just the way it is. So that's just what we're doing. What conditioned nature we have, that's what we use. That's self-realization. That's what we have. That's what we use. You know? So the point is why is it it's being used to please Krishna? It's being used to direct at Krishna. That's the whole point. So that's where the focus has to be. Means, in other words, we're being careful to, you know, never forget Krishna. So those things that make us forget, we try to avoid. But it's about remembering Krishna. It's not just about, oh, I'm not forgetting Krishna, so therefore that's the good thing. It's that you're remembering. You have that desire to please Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Because Kamsa, he also always remembers Krishna. Right? Or like that, or let's say never forgets Krishna. But the point is he'll only get liberation from it. Right? He won't get prema. So prema comes from, it's about Krishna. We're people, he's a person. We use the tools that we have to please him as a person. Right? And so him as a person, we don't know. The acharyas know. That's why then they say, what you do for Krishna. We can come up with our own idea, but that doesn't mean that it will be nice. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
In this development, the distraction is, or faith in the material world.
Yes.
It has some substance.
So yes.
How that gets, how we can work on removing that?
How can we remove our faith in the material world? Is that we're having faith that there's something in the material world will make us happy. Mm-hmm. As long as we and so therefore we make endeavors to get that. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're more knowledgeable, we understand that they should be correct activities, recommended activities. But then the point is all these things, the results of that, all themselves are coming from Krishna. The potency is Krishna, is coming from Krishna. And so then the idea is that if it's all coming from Krishna, then why do we have to run around after all these other things? Why not just directly turn to Krishna? Right? Does that make sense? So that means we may have a field that we're working in, because the field is the body. So that particular body is connected through senses to that, beyond the body. But it's the body that's our field, because with that we contact our surroundings. And with that we can interact. We can't interact with someone else's field. We can only interact with our field. And so then we'll take that and then try to use that in Krishna's service, rather than try to take that and use it for our own purposes. So we said? All mundane relationships are sure to be broken in the course of time. But once one establishes a relationship with the personality of Godhead, in a particular rasa, it is never to be broken, even after the annihilation of the material world, because it's not dependent upon anything from the material world. One should understand through the transparent medium of the spiritual master that the Supreme Lord exists everywhere in his transcendental spiritual nature, and that the living entity's relationships with the Lord are directly and indirectly existing everywhere, even in this material world. Right? Because all the things here that we value, I mean, this is from the second shloka of the Chatur Shloki, is that whatever we value here, that potency that gives that value, what we're actually looking for, right? Because you have something, if it doesn't give you an experience that you consider positive, you don't value it. Right? Either directly, indirectly, whatever it is, it's all going to be based on that. So that potency, that's Krishna. So everyone has a relationship with Krishna. It's no question that they don't. Right? You know, introduction to the Krishna book, George Harrison writes, everyone's looking for Krishna. They just don't know it. Right? So this technical point that we're talking, you know, from here, from 11th canto, the devotees knew that back in the 60s. Then along came management. Yeah. Then they forget all this stuff. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that one's supposed to appreciate that it's Krishna we're looking for. Does that make sense?
They always say, always remember Krishna, never forget. What's the difference if we are remembering him all the time? How will we forget him?
If you're remembering all the time, you won't forget. And if you're not forgetting him, you'll be remembering. But it just means it's the direct, the indirect, the positive, the negative. It's just covering all bases. Does that make sense?
The question is about strong desire to attain Krishna. One day I asked one senior devotee what to do if he sees that material attachments to family members more than the desire to achieve situation. And he told me that we should be satisfied of our present consciousness and because it's a dharmical attachment. Because it's normal, but it's like you should not be interested.
You should not?
You should not worry about that you have this attachment to family members because it's normal for the family. And I want to ask the satisfaction of our present level of consciousness. It's not in contradiction with strong desire to attain to Krishna.
Yes, what you can do is shift that a little bit, is that instead of being that we're satisfied with our, how you say, present position in spiritual, when the point is about material attachments, shift it to we're satisfied with our material facilities. Because even you endeavor to make them better, your experience won't get any better. Does that make sense? You have more facility or less facility, the experience will be the same. Right? Means the rat goes into the little hole and all that during the rain, and it's quite comfortable and happy there. It's getting the same experience that when it's raining and that, we run inside our own house and close the door and the windows, and we can just watch the rain outside. It's exactly the same. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is the experience, no matter where you are, it's the same. It doesn't get any better. You know? We call it will be better, but at the same time, it's not necessarily.
Interesting.
Hmm? That's the whole thing. You go to the heavenly planets, and it's the same thing. Indra's there, he's the king of the universe, and then Bali Maharaj comes in with his millions of warriors. Mm-hmm. Troublesome. He gets tossed out, you know. So, you know, the only difference is that when he gets tossed out, he doesn't end up in the bottom of a well somewhere. That's the only difference, right? It's the same thing. Right? So that's the thing, is the experience is always the same. That's why people can relate to each other. Whatever their background, they have the common point they're talking about. They can always have that commonality because the experience is the same. Does that make sense? I mean, there'll be, you know, details and this and that and all, but the experience will be the same. So if you're satisfied in that, you know, we're doing our service and whatever facilities we have, then we have that, and it's not going to get any better or worse. You know? Does that make sense? So what Prabhupada says, one should be comfortable. Comfortable means not uncomfortable. So how whatever level brings one past the point of being uncomfortable, just to it's okay. That's where you want to be. Because if you go past that, so far into, you know, this will be really good, we won't be more comfortable. Because now all the problems that come up from having more than what we require will be there. The guy has nothing. He can walk anywhere, go anywhere, no one will bother him. But if he has money, then anywhere he goes, they can steal it. You know, even his own kids. You know? It's just, you'll get another, so you have just what is necessary. And then that's it. People don't bother you. People don't bother the guy who's just has just how much is required. Right? Somebody say?
I mean, should we try to cultivate our desire to attain Krishna?
Yes.
Or it's artificial?
Why would it be artificial? Where are we from? Are we from here or we're from the spiritual world? Right? So therefore, that's the natural thing. To cultivate our attachments in the material world, that's artificial. So that's why I'm saying you shift it, that we're comfortable with whatever we have materially, you know, or if with a little endeavor we can make it so it is proper, then we do that. We make the endeavor, whether it'll come or not, that's another thing. Then, at the same time, as we understand, is that where we are now, that's where we are. And then we try to move forward. So we're not in anxiety that we're where we are, but we know that's where we are, and we make progress. You know, it's just like if you're trying to go somewhere, unless you keep the goal in mind, will you get there? Like after the class, if you don't think of where you're staying, and you just walk, you know, you could end up, you know, at Bamanpukur, you know, you could end up all kinds of places. It's like that. You know, if in your walking you find that the you know, it's this vast kind of old funky cement place, and you go, wow, this looks like an old airport, then you know you know you've walked too far. Does that make sense? No? The next kind of village up, when you go out on the highway, is Dabulia.
Okay.
It's actually an airport. You know, the British had an airport there. You know, so the devotees are always talking about getting that cleared and making it as an actual usable airport. Then we can just, you know, fly into here, and then just as a short little trip to Mayapur. Right? Yes.
Chanakya, he mentions that the man should be satisfied with his meal, with his wife, and his salary, and should be never satisfied with his japa, knowledge of the scripture, and the charity.
There you have it. But that doesn't mean that you're in anxiety and freaking out and all that kind of stuff. It just means you always endeavor to do more. But these others, whatever you make your work, that's all you're going to get. You know? So, you know, you might as well be satisfied. Does that make sense? But the others, you're always trying to increase and improve the quality of your devotional development. Does that make sense? That's why I said, the instruction is good, you just need to shift it a little bit. Right? In the spiritual world, there are five kinds of relationships with the Supreme Lord: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. The perverted reflections of these rasas are found in the material world. These five relationships in the material world are distorted reflections of the original pure sentiments, which should be understood and perfected in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. In the material world, the perverted rasas bring frustration. If these rasas are reestablished with Lord Krishna, the result is eternal blissful life. Okay, so it has to be clear that that's what it's for. And we're always trying to endeavor like that. From this and the preceding three verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which have been selected from Srimad Bhagavatam, the missionary activities of Lord Chaitanya can be understood. Okay, so this is on the context of the fourth one. Okay. So that means endeavoring up to this means at all times, all places, all circumstances, both directly and indirectly, we're trying to absorb ourselves in the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses, which are summarized in the four verses, beginning with Aham Evas, Sam Evagre, 53, and concluding with Yat Syat Sarvatra Sarvada, 56. In the first of these verses, 53, the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is explained. The second verse, 54, further explains that the Lord is detached from the workings of the material energy, Maya. The living entities, although parts and parcels of Lord Krishna, are prone to be controlled by the external energy. Therefore, although they are spiritual, in the material world they are encased in bodies of material energy. The eternal relationship of the living entities with the Supreme Lord is explained in that verse. The next, because it means he's what's of value. Whatever you're looking for, it's Krishna that's value. So that means you can have a relationship with Krishna always, at all, directly and indirectly. Right? This surrendering... The next verse, 55, instructs that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable energies, is simultaneously one with and different from the living entities and the material energy. Right? So even though he's all this, and he's that whatever is entered, he is everything, that's in the first verse, and the second verse, he's entered everything. Right? Because that's what we're looking for, that's the value. But he's in the third verse, he as a person is still simultaneously one with that and separate as a person. This knowledge is called the Chinta Beda Beda Tattva. Right? So this is what Vyasadeva would have understood. So now these four seed verses, now he'll be able to appreciate that and understand that. So Narad Muni then gave, and then based on that, he expanded the Gita. I mean the Bhagavatam. Right? So this is the, what did Prabhupada use here? Summarized in four, the Bhagavatam is that's summarized in these four verses. But is what we're saying is the point of that is he'll be able to appreciate that because of that aspect of the trance of Vyasadeva. Mm-hmm. Right? That we were seeing before. And so because he's seeing in that way because of a Chinta Veda Veda Tattva, now he can understand these four verses in their fullness. Mm-hmm. Right? When a living entity surrenders to the Supreme Lord, Krishna, he can then develop natural transcendental love for him. This surrendering process should be the primary concern of a human being. In the next verse, 56, it is said that a conditioned soul must ultimately approach a bona fide spiritual master and try to understand perfectly the material and spiritual worlds and his own existential position. Here the words, anvaya, Vyaktire kabhyam, directly and indirectly, suggests that one must learn the process of devotional service in its two aspects. One must directly execute the process of devotional service and indirectly avoid the impediments to progress. Right? So, directly means it's about Krishna, and the impediments are that which is not connected to Krishna. Right? So then, whatever you're dealing with, if you understand that why you're interested in it is because of the Krishna, then your focus is on that, and you're avoiding thinking that it's not connected to Krishna, so you're not dealing with Maya. Because Maya means to think it's not connected to Krishna. Right? So then so those areas that you don't think is about Krishna, then you look for Krishna. Okay? And those that you are, then you maintain that. Then, verse 57. All glories to Chintamani and my initiating spiritual master, Somagiri. All glories to my instructing spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who wears peacock feathers in his crown. Under the shade of his lotus feet, which are like desire trees, Jai Shri Radharani enjoys the transcendental mellow of an eternal consort. Srila Prabhupada. Bilva Mangal Thakur actually entered into the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. He has recorded his transcendental experiences and appreciation in the book known as Krishna Karinamrita. In the beginning of that book, he has offered his obeisances to his different gurus, and it is to be noted that he has adored them all equally. The first spiritual master mentioned is Chintamani, who is one of his instructing spiritual masters, because she first showed him the spiritual path. Right, so she's the one that put him on the path. So therefore, then that, the Vartma Pradasha, that has to be appreciated. Chintamani was a prostitute with whom Bilva Mangal was intimate earlier in his life. She gave him the inspiration to begin on the path of devotional service. And because she convinced him to give up material existence to try for perfection by loving Krishna, he has first offered his respects to her. Right, so wherever that connection comes from, that's appreciated. Next, he offers his respects to his initiating spiritual master, Somagiri, and then to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was also his instructing spiritual master. He explicitly mentions Bhagavan, who has peacock feathers on his crown, because the Lord of Vrindavan, Krishna, the cowherd boy, used to come to Bilvamangala to talk with him and supply him with milk, right? Because Bilvamangala at that point was blind. So he couldn't, all he knew is this nice boy used to come and bring milk and talk all kinds of things, right? And so they would discuss so many things. And then, you know, at some point it's revealed that it's Krishna himself. So then Krishna personally was his instructing spiritual master. In his adoration of Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, he states that Jayashri, the goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani, takes shelter in the shade of his lotus feet by enjoying the transcendental rasa of nupital love. The complete treatise Krishna Karinamrita is dedicated to the transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani. It is a book to be read and understood by the most elevated devotees of Sri Krishna. Right? So Prabhupada's pointing out, it's a book to be read, but by those who are the most elevated. Because saying that, because we've heard, you know, we know the things of Radha and Krishna and all that. And so when we're situated on that platform, you know, on the liberated platform, then the fine points we can appreciate. Okay, so we see here is Prabhupada's giving the example. It means it's being given the example of how he's respecting the spiritual masters, the initiated and instructing spiritual masters. So the Vartma Pradarshak is considered to be in the category of instructing. Right? Since one cannot visually experience the presence of the Supersoul, he appears before us as a liberated devotee. Such a spiritual master is none other than Krishna himself, verse 58. Srila Prabhupada, it is not possible for a conditioned soul to directly meet Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if one becomes a sincere devotee and seriously engages in devotional service, Lord Krishna sends an instructing spiritual master to show him favor and evoke his dormant propensity for serving the Lord. The preceptor appears before the external senses of the fortunate conditioned soul. And at the same time, the devotee is guided from within by the Chaita Guru, Krishna, who is seated as the spiritual master within the heart of the living entity. Right, so he says here, sincere devotee. So if one says, oh, but there isn't anybody, I've looked, that means one's not actually sincere. Otherwise, Krishna would arrange. Mm-hmm. You know, like the example of Duryodhana. He went all over, you know, he went everywhere. And his task was to find a pure man. Right? So everywhere he went, you know, he'd find, you know, Brahmins and saints and this, but he'd find that there'd be some fault. So then in his mind, they weren't pure enough. So he came back. And Yudhishthira was tasked with finding somebody who's impure or bad. So one is find a good person, the other is find a bad person. So for Duryodhana, even the best people, there's something wrong. And for Duryodhana, even the worst person, there's still something good there. So that's the whole point, is that if we can't find anybody worth associating with, then there's a good chance we need to work on our sincerity. And then when that sincerity develops, then Krishna will reveal, you know, that, and we will be able to appreciate. So. And Krishna, within the heart, will give guidance. Okay. 59. One should therefore avoid bad company and associate only with devotees. With their realized instructions, such saints can cut the knot connecting one with activities unfavorable to devotional service. Right. So through their instructions, then the knot that we have of our connection with things that aren't useful in Krishna service, then that knot can be cut. Right. Because by gaining their blessings, we get Krishna's blessings, and then in this way it goes away. Right? So makes sense. So that's why the devotional process, it's by that surrender, then everything works very, very nicely. And if one thinks, no, I'm going to do this all myself because I'm so fabulous, then it's going to take a little bit more work. And by that little bit more work, you still won't get anywhere. So, Srila Prabhupada. This verse, which appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 11:26-26, was spoken by Lord Krishna to Uddhava in the text known as the Uddhava Gita. The discussion relates to the story of Puru Rava and the heavenly courtesan Urvasi. When Urvasi left Puru Rava, he was deeply affected by the separation and had to learn to overcome his grief. It is indicated that to learn the transcendental science, it is imperative that one avoid the company of undesirable persons and always seek the company of saints and sages who are able to impart lessons of transcendental knowledge. The potent words of such realized souls penetrate the heart, thereby eradicating all misgivings accumulated through years of undesirable association. Right? So this whole idea is that, oh no, we're like this and you can't change it. That's okay, that's fine if you're not associated with devotees. Then yeah, no, well, that's the way we are. But if we're sincere about devotional service, then the point is the company of the devotees. And by Krishna's direction from within, then we can overcome all these misgivings. So, yeah. So the potent words of such realized souls penetrate the heart, thereby eradicating all misgivings accumulated through years of undesirable association. Because it's come from bad association. So that's the point. It's not that, oh no, we're like this. It's by bad association. That's why you're like this. So you take up good association, that changes. For a neophyte devotee, there are two kinds of persons whose association is undesirable. One, gross materialists who constantly engage in sense gratification. And two, unbelievers who do not serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but serve their senses and their mental whims in terms of their speculative habits. Right? So notice one is gross materialists who constantly engage in sense gratification. And the second is unbelievers who do not serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they're speculating, right? But serve their senses. So in other words, one was gross sense gratifier, because that's, you know, they have more focus. And the other one, then they're more intellectual, so then they contemplate on all these kind of things about, you know, whatever it is that's that, but in the context of engaging their senses. So they're both just into sense gratification. It's just that one enjoys intellectual speculation on his repertoire of sense gratification.
Yeah. It's karma and jnana.
Karma and jnana. Karma and jnana. Intelligent persons seeking transcendental realization should very scrupulously avoid their company. So that's intelligent. These mental speculators, they're not intelligent. They may, by material standards, seem to be intelligent, but they're not actually. Because actual intelligent, then you take up trying to associate with the devotees and develop that interest in the transcendental. 60. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in a society of devotees, and it is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. But so this is the point, the second point that Lord Chaitanya gives, because it says that by studying these verses then you can understand the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So then that first point, that Jiva Doya, then the second point is that Vaishnav Seva. Right? And they've been talking about Namaruchi, developing that taste. So that's going to be gained in the association of devotees. Then having gained this, then one is compassionate to others who do not have that. So that's where the preaching comes up. Because you're doing so well, therefore then you naturally want to help others. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens. And gradually one attains firm faith that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. So, you're hearing, then you get that, then that transcendental experience opens. And then that experience, then you start to have faith in that. As that faith develops, that's then how it's going to move forward. And then attraction and devotion will come. So it's all going to happen through association of devotees. Right? So from them, we'll get this taste for the holy name. From them, then we'll have that same mood of compassion. So.
Now, is it possible that the process is working even if the person is not willing to participate?
Yeah, it always works. Like that. Means you're not willing to participate, then, you know, it'll be slower. But you know, if there's any appreciation of the devotees, then it will move forward. You know, it's just like sometimes, let's say you're grumpy, and another person is, means you're grumpy, and then one way is dealing is they also then commiserate and kind of, you know, have that mood, and you discuss on that level, and having fully tasted the grumpiness, then you can kind of eventually move on to something else, you know, like that. Or they can just not be interested in the grumpiness and just be pleasant and nice and trying to create jokes and all that, and you're not interested, and you're, they get, it makes you more grumpy and all that, but they just keep at it, and then eventually you just, okay, you know. So the point is if we're appreciating the devotees, though we may not appreciate that they're trying to make us appreciate devotional service, then it will move forward. But if we don't like the association of devotees in that and avoid that, then we'll have problems. That will slow us down very much. Because it's just by association. That's the main thing. Means we can associate even if no one's around through the instructions, previous experience, and remembering that. We can move forward. But that's not, that wouldn't be our first choice. We may be in situations like that. We're traveling and we're alone and no one else is around, so then you're going to remember these things. You know, or read or something to keep yourself in contact. The one chooses to not associate, because one finds a problem, then that will definitely slow down. But then you'll get back into the material thing. And one was absorbed in material life, one saw that this is not working, one came in contact with the devotees, gets the faith, takes up devotional process, and, you know, advances. Then if one leaves devotional service and goes back to the material platform, you go back to where you were before. You don't step out, let's say we weren't so culturally developed and all that, or not so sophisticated. Then when we, you know, come into devotional service, all these things, because the heart gets purified and all this, it develops. But we can't think that when we step out, we're going to step out in the same social place. We'll go right back to where we were. That's the meaning of Punar Musika Bhava. It's literal. You go right back to where you were. Right? And so it's not going to be any different taste. You know, even if it's been 5 years, 10 years, 30, it doesn't matter. It'll be the same taste. Just you're a bit older now. You know? So you can do that, but you generally see is, you know, devotees who, you know, get all grumpy and bent out of shape. You know, generally in 10 years, 20 years, they're back. Because there is no taste out there. It's not that it's changed. Oh, in 20 years it's changed. No, it's the same, how you say, same old taste, same old experience. Just, you know, it means the karmis will put the word great in there instead of old, but it's not. It's just old. Right? Yes?
Going to Vraja, we need association of devotees. That's why we see that Lord Chaitanya, he was like invited by Advaita Acharya, because once he came, then this process like became available to everybody in this age. Because of him being Radharani, having that, that's why we have that chance.
Yes. So what is it?
I'm trying to confirm that the association part.
Why do we need to confirm it? Means this is what Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada have been talking about for the last so many pages. That's what I mean by thinking. It's just that in there, then you mow. Okay, then like that, that also confirms. Does that make sense? Means if in your mind this doesn't confirm anything, then you might ask about it.
Yeah.
But if in your mind it confirms, then we don't need to think out loud. Right. Does that make sense? Like that. So you just add it, yeah. So that's another angle. And so it just adds on to it, just so we should become more convinced because of these things. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, if the person is, he goes out of association and he this kind of trying to avoid. How much should we endeavor to reach out to that person?
I mean, so we make the endeavor, and if they respond, then we continue. But if we make the endeavor and they make it very clear they're not interested, then you try later. You know, you have to wait. Does that make sense? If it's somebody very close, you know, like that, then you can try different angles than that based on the relationship, you can always try more. But if it's a matter of just, you know, they make it very clear that they want to be grumpy, then let them be grumpy. Enjoy the grumpiness. You know? That's what the material world is designed for. So it's like, you know, they can take full advantage of the facilities. But we always try. But then if it works, nice. But if it doesn't, then you leave it and try again later. That makes sense. Yeah. Or if nothing else, if hasn't been an opportunity, this and that, when they do come back, then be supportive then. Like that. In other words, they're coming back, it's basically like a fresh start. Don't drag up all the stuff from before. You know, what's the point? Then it's about bhakti or justice? Srila Prabhupada, this verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25:25, where Kapiladeva replies to the questions of his mother, Devahuti, about the process of devotional service. As one advances in devotional activities, the process becomes progressively clearer and more encouraging. Unless one gets the spiritual encouragement by following the instructions of the spiritual master, it is not possible to make advancement. Right? So this point of the encouragement is because we're advancing. Why? And so the process becomes progressively clear, and we get more inspiration. So it has to come from following the orders of the spiritual master. That's where we get the encouragement. That's where we get the inspiration. We think by the modern kind of padati that, no, everybody's got to be all nice and so careful and just everything's touchy-feely, then, yes, socially we'll be encouraged. But that doesn't mean that we'll be encouraged spiritually one iota. Right? And just for general knowledge sake, an iota is not a very much. Like that. Read nanometer. Okay? So it's not going to get anywhere. So there's all this talk, oh, we're not doing that, that's why devotees are. So devotees were leaving. Our temple was, I think, it went from 30 people to 15 people. Back and forth. Every 3 months. You know, at one point there's so many people, there is literally no place to sleep. You sleep on the stairs, literally. You know, in the stairs you have a landing, and then it goes up. You sleep there, because there's no place. And other times, you know, you can stretch out and put your arms out, and it doesn't matter. So it just goes back. It's because people have been coming and going always. And we say, oh, it's because we didn't deal in this way and that way. No, that's why you left. Because you were looking for something more that more mundane aspect of it. But it's not that the etiquette shouldn't be there. That doesn't give an excuse. Etiquette's supposed to be there. But it's by following Vaishnava etiquette that it works. Not because, oh, because we have this social system that we dream up. Because the Vedic social system, that's the problem, is that those who have this philosophy, they don't like the Vedic either. Which is actually the most caring. Right? So that's the difficulty. You know, so the problem comes is that we want total independence, but we want everybody to care. But the point is, right? The people care because they're part of your scene. That means you're not totally independent. So it's cheating. What people want these days is not possible. That's why they live in city. Who's complaining? It's the city people. Are country people complaining?
They don't have time.
Hmm?
They don't have time.
Yeah, they don't have time. Plus, they have community. They have all that. Right? And so, you know, but everybody knows everything about everybody. Right? But at the same time, if something goes wrong, they're all there. You know, like, who was telling the story? Something about this monkey? I forget what it was. Yes, devotee was watching. He was going around Govardhan. You know how when you go down at the end past Apsarakunda and that, and you start back the other way, yeah. And then after getting past the area where the caves are, there's that kind of area, so very foresty. And there's nothing there, just forest, and it's full of monkeys. So they were in that area in there, and there was this whole scene going on. And at one point, all the monkeys are there making a big scene like that. And then, like a teenage monkey goes flying out of there and onto a tree or something, and all the others are like this and that. And he get down on the ground because they were all up and they're making a whole scene and it's serious. Then, because it's not a big monkey, then a dog saw. And I thought, okay, because normally, they can't get at these monkeys because they're all together. But this monkey is on its own. So the dog starts coming over. And all the monkeys are yelling and screaming at the guy. And when they notice the dog, then all of them jump down and chase the dog off. because the point is, he's ours to harass, not yours. Does that make sense? So that's community, Yes. So like that. So we want everybody should be as concerned as the community when they're all nice, but otherwise we should have total independence. Nobody knows anything. We just do anything we want, whenever we want, not caring for anybody in the community, but at the same time as they're all by my rights. They're all supposed to care about me. Where do you get such rules? Who makes up these rules? I do no work, but the company should take care of all expenses. Why would that? No, you do something for the company. That's why they pay you. Simple formula. So you work for the community better than the community, then they work for you. This idea is, no, I should get the whole world. I have community with the whole world when I want them, but when I don't want them, then they have nothing to do with me. It won't work. Right. Does that make sense?
Coming from the technology.
Yes, but then you also, it's just like in the village there's so much gossip, and so then you're in the city, and then you have all these, what do you call them? All these media.
Social media.
It's just gossip. Right? Is there something serious going on these things?
Even journalism.
Yeah, that's there. Yeah. But no, we say means you have the option to turn it off whenever you want, but you never do. Because maybe something will come, maybe some juice will come in, It's like, maybe someone will send me a picture of something they're eating for lunch that I can't eat, Oh, isn't it, happy day, Kalu Kale. Yeah. No? You really want to know about what that they're somewhere else eating something that you can't. No? Like that, yeah. Yes. So, all important things. So it's just this, it's the same gossip. That's the thing, is you can't, there's this, what is that saying? You can take the man out of the village, but you can't take the village out of the man. So it's the same thing. So. Unless one gets the spiritual encouragement by following the instructions of the spiritual master, it's not possible to make advancement. Right? And if we're not making advancement, we're not inspired. Like this. And so then, if we're not looking at this as the prominent thing, then we're going to turn to social encouragement. Mm-hmm. And trying to we make this social thing so wonderful and all that. The only problem is if we break that down, it's who would be friends? Right? Everybody's there for the Janmashtami program, hundreds of devotees, and they're from that city. But if they were all karmis, would any one of them be a friend with anyone else in that group? Right? Maybe one or two would be with one or two. So how are you going to make community based on the mundane? It's impossible. Therefore, the only thing you can accommodate, of course, then Prabhupada says, is varnashram. Then from that you can create community from such a wide range of people who have no, mundane commonalities. Right? Other than, mundaneness. Right? Does that make sense? So, that's therefore, our encouragement comes because of the spiritual. And then within that, then you find like-minded, basic on the spiritual, and then who can relate and other things like that. And then in this way, then you create community. And then the whole thing, all these little community can stay together by that whole varnashram. And so it's like the the net. Like you have the trapeze artist, and there's the net, and say something goes wrong. So varnashram is that net. If we're not held together by the spiritual things, then at least then it is there, it has the social and that it can keep everyone together. But if that's where we're looking for our encouragement and all that, that's the main point, then we may be disappointed. But if it's in following the orders of the spiritual master, then there'll always be inspiration. Right? But it's given that both can be there at once. It's not one or the other. But the point is to think that the material is going to satisfy us. It won't. That's why we took up Krishna consciousness. We joined because it didn't work. Right? And it's not that, before coming to Krishna consciousness, devotees didn't have friends and family and associates and things that they were doing and projects and hobbies and goals and all that. It's just that they didn't give any satisfaction. That's why they came to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one's development of a taste for executing these instructions is the test of one's devotional service. So, how much we're developing taste, that's how we know we're advancing. Initially, one must develop confidence by hearing the science of devotion from a qualified spiritual master. Then, as he associates with devotees and tries to adopt the means instructed by the spiritual master in his own life, his misgivings and other obstacles are vanquished by his execution of devotional service. So the point is why are we miserable? Because of our misgivings and our hankerings. Our hankerings and our lamentation. Right? So as we take up devotional service, then we come across the process. We're associating with devotees, associating with Krishna, we hear about Krishna, we hear about the process. Then that takes us beyond this problem of hankering and lamenting. And so then one can actually, everybody can therefore to some degree taste. Just now and again we might need to be a little aware of it, that's all. Bhaktivinoda Thakura recommends that one on a regular basis, one should contemplate, the advancement and things like that. Right? Spiritual, how you're developing. Okay, the attachments that were there, they may still be there, but it's less than before. In certain situations that you would be so distracted, now you're not so distracted or not distracted. So you can see these things. Then the process is working. So then we're inspired. Strong attachment for the transcendental service of the Lord develops as he continues listening to the messages of Godhead. Right? So by hearing, that's where that strong attachment comes from. And if he steadfastly proceeds in this way, he is certainly elevated to spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is how you are. Right? It says here, strong attachment for the transcendental service of the Lord develops as he continues listening to the messages of Godhead. So that means on all levels, the name, form, the qualities, the pastimes, the associates, the paraphrase, all these things, not just something specific. And if he steadfastly proceeds, he's regular in this, he is certainly elevated to spontaneous love. Right? So this is coming from, those that understand this, who live this. This is what it means. Right? Just as we can come up with our own concocted social systems, we can come up with our own ideas how we're going to make, bhakti work. Right? So it's the same thing we have to stick to. As the acharyas give us, then we see that's going to work. Right? A pure devotee constantly engaged in the loving service of the Lord is identical with the Lord who is always seated in his heart. 61. Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second, and therefore He is all-powerful. He has inconceivable energies, of which three are principal. The devotee is considered to be one of these energies, never the energetic. The energetic is always the Supreme Lord. The energies are related to Him for the purpose of eternal service. A living entity in the conditioned stage can uncover his aptitude for serving the Absolute Truth by the grace of Krishna and the Spiritual Master. Then the Lord reveals Himself within the heart, and he can know that Krishna is seated in the heart of every pure devotee. So not only does he realize Krishna is in his own heart, he realizes he sees this in everybody's heart. See, because there's the point where we hear, we clear doubts, then we understand, right? And by that continuous practice of that understanding, then we actually understand what that what is meant. Does that make sense? Because that's the realization. Like that. So the point is, we know Krishna's in everybody's heart, but we don't necessarily act like that. Because if Krishna's in everyone's heart, then whoever you're dealing with, you're dealing with that living entity and the super soul. But we may not always do that. Right? Krishna is actually situated in the heart of every living entity, but only a devotee can realize this fact. Right? Means you can understand it, but only the devotee can realize it. So the impersonalists, they may understand, they'll never get past that. Right? The karmis may also know, but they can't get past it. They can't realize. 62. Saints are my heart, and only I am their hearts. They do not know anyone but me, and therefore I do not recognize anyone besides them as mine. That means it's all his energies, but him as a person, then those who act in this way as persons, then they are, say, Krishna as a person. As God, everybody's his. But as Bhagavan, then those who deal in, who are always absorbed in Krishna, they don't know anyone but Krishna, then Krishna, they are his. Because Krishna is then always in their heart. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada. This verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 9.468 in connection with a misunderstanding between Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarisha. As a result of this misunderstanding, Durvasa Muni tried to kill the king. When the Sudarshan Chakra, the celebrated weapon of Godhead, appeared on the scene for the devoted king's protection. When the Sudarshan Chakra attacked Durvasa Muni, he fled in fear of the weapon and sought shelter from all the great demigods in heaven. Not one of them was able to protect him, and therefore Durvasa Muni prayed to Lord Vishnu for forgiveness. Lord Vishnu advised him, however, that if he wanted forgiveness, he had to get it from Maharaj Ambarish, not from him. In this context, Lord Vishnu spoke this verse. Does that make sense? So, the point is for the Lord, you disturb the devotee, it's when the devotee forgives you, then Krishna's okay. So Krishna is himself isn't going to give forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Right? The Lord, being full and free from problems, can wholeheartedly care for his devotees. Right? Because he has nothing else to do. There's nothing bothering him. Right? We are, you know, would take care, do things, but we have to do this, and we have that, and so many things came up, and so, you know, you wanted to be there, so. You know, but Krishna, he being full and free from problems, so, you know, he doesn't have any problem wholeheartedly caring for the devotees. It's not that, you know, he'll be at a dental appointment or, you know, something like that, you know. So, yeah. His concern is how to elevate and protect all those who have taken shelter at his feet. The same responsibility is also entrusted to the spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master's concern is how the devotees who have surrendered to him as a representative of the Lord may make progress in devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always mindful of the devotees who fully engage in cultivating knowledge of him, having taken shelter at his lotus feet. So, someone's always trying to understand and know about Krishna, hear and chant about Krishna, then Krishna is always going to be concerned with them. So, in our life how much we can absorb ourselves. We try to arrange. That was the whole point of that last verse of the chapter Shloki, is how much you can arrange your life around Krishna, both directly and indirectly. Then that's what you should do. And the more you do that, the more Krishna himself is then involved, taking care. 63. Saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord. And therefore, they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. Srila Prabhupada. This verse was spoken by Maharaj Yudhishthir to Vidura in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10. Maharaj Yudhishthir was receiving his saintly uncle Vidura, who had been visiting sacred places of pilgrimage. Maharaj Yudhishthir told Vidura that pure devotees like him are personified holy places because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always with them in their hearts. Right? As Paramatma is in everybody's heart. But when someone turns to Krishna, they're always absorbed in Krishna. Therefore, then Krishna then is reciprocating with them. So therefore, because their consciousness is on Krishna, then they are themselves a transcendental holy place. So wherever they go, then everyone becomes purified. By their association, sinful persons are freed from sinful reactions. And therefore, wherever a pure devotee goes is a sacred place of pilgrimage. The importance of holy places is due to the presence there of such pure devotees. Because if the process is approaching devotees, if that's what makes it work, then the holy place is special because that's where pure devotees are. Does that make sense? So, therefore, it's wherever the pure devotee is, that becomes a holy place. And the holy places are special because the pure devotees are there. So, yeah. 64. Such pure devotees are of two types, personal associates, parishads, and neophyte devotees, sadhakas. Right? Because we're going to go, okay, yeah, pure devotees, okay, the parishads and then the, you know, Uta Adhikaris on the platform of Bhava. Everybody else is a schmo, right? Yeah. But here it says, two kinds, personal associates and neophytes. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada, or sadhakas here. Perfect servitors of the Lord are considered his personal associates, whereas devotees endeavoring to attain perfection are called neophytes. Among the associates, some are attracted by the opulences of the personality of Godhead, and others are attracted by nupital love of Godhead. The former devotees are placed in the realm of Vaikuntha to render reverential devotional service, whereas the latter devotees are placed in Vrindavan for the direct service of Sri Krishna. Right, so the eternal, so basically speaking, is saying those who have come to the platform who are personal associates, then that's one group, and then from there all the way down to some, you know, everybody else, they're technically neophytes. You may have more developed neophytes and less developed, you know, how you say, you have third class neophytes, second class neophyte, and first class neophyte. Then you have the associates. Right. So the point being is that it's means sadhana. You just practice what's given by these external associates in that direction. That will bring you there. That's why they are come. That's why the Lord comes. That's what the Lord wants. So that means it's possible. Everybody can do it. Everybody can make it to the platform of pure devotion. Right. So that makes sense. There are three, then the next verses. There are three categories of incarnations, avatars of Godhead. Partial incarnations, amsa, qualitative incarnations, guna, and empowered incarnations, shaktivesh. The Purushas and Matsya are examples of partial incarnations. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are qualitative incarnations. Empowered incarnations are those like the Kumaras, King Prithu, and Mahamuni Vyas, the compiler of the Vedas. The personality of Godhead exhibits himself in two kinds of forms, Prakash and Vilas. Right? So the incarnations, there's three. Right? And then there may be distinctions within these, but there's three. There'd be him, who are, means in other words Vishnu Tattva, and they, so they're partial incarnations, and then how much of a partial in that, like this and that. Then you have qualitative, that they are in control of the gunas, and then you have empowered. So they may be empowered in so many different ways, and so like that, then there's so many. Yes, it's Jesus. The personality of Godhead exhibits himself in two kinds of forms, Prakash and Vilas. When the personality of Godhead expands himself in many forms, all non-different in their features, as Lord Krishna did when he married 16,000 queens and when he performed his Rasa dance, such forms of the Lord are called manifested forms, Prakash Vigrahas. Okay, so that means it's just him, he's just expanding. The elephant wallows. Yeah, they got umbrellas. Yeah. Yeah, other than them, no one can see inside. Right? That's it. The two guys on the elephants, and that's the only people that can see. Yeah, finally. Okay. Quote, it is astounding that Lord Sri Krishna, who is one without a second, expanded himself in 16,000 similar forms to marry 16,000 queens in their respective homes. Footnote 7. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.69.2. When Lord Krishna, surrounded by groups of cowherd girls, began the festivities of the Rasa dance, the Lord of all mystic powers placed himself between each two girls. When the cowherd girls and Krishna thus joined together, each girl thought that Krishna was clearly, dearly embracing her alone. To behold this wonderful pastime of the Lords, the denizens of heaven and their wives, all very eager to see the dance, flew in the sky in their hundreds of airplanes. They showered flowers and beat sweetly on drums. Footnote 8. This is another quote from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33, 3-4. So the point is, we can see it's about sweetness, because Krishna, through his, what's the word? Mystic power. The Lord of all mystic powers. He places himself with each queen, or he places himself between every two gopis. That means there's one on each side. But then that gopi that's on one side, Krishna's on the other side of her, because then she's, does that make sense? So it's not that there's one Krishna for two girls. We're not talking Beach Boys here. Right? You know, we're talking. I thought these quotes would have been really over everyone's head. So, then means Krishna's there. There's a girl on his left and on his right. Now, the girl on the right, he's between her and the one to her right. So now he's between two gopis. So now she's on his left. Right? But the point is each girl thinks Krishna's just with her. So if it was about majesty, then they would all know that Krishna's expanded and he's doing this and out of his mercy and all that, then he's with everyone and they're just, it's so kind that Krishna is doing this. You understand? But it's about sweetness. So each girl does not know. Right? Only he and Radharani know. Because they're in the middle. That was the whole point of the Rasa dance. Is that all the other gopis had to come to the point to appreciate Radharani's position, so she's in the middle, and then they're all, you know, taking their place. Just like the cowherd boys. Remember, they're sitting in rings around Krishna, but each one, they're all, wherever they are in a circle around Krishna, Krishna's facing them. And it's like Krishna's just sitting there with them. So even if they're a few rows back, still it's just, Krishna's just facing them. So that's the point. He's using this mystic powers. Others can see it. Like Narad Muni goes to all the palaces. He can see it. Or the denizens of heaven, they can see it. But the queens think Krishna, he's the most attached to me because he's at my house and he's not at anybody of the others. Because the point is he's married 16,108. Then in their mind, there's one Krishna. Right? And so he's going to be at somebody's house and he happens to be at their house. So therefore, you know, they feel most unfortunate. So the point is he does these things, there's that element of sweetness. He's not trying to show that he's like this. It's just he's doing this because of the relationship. So it's not that Vrindavan doesn't have all opulence and all mystic powers. It's just, it's only in support of sweetness. It only has that much value. It doesn't have anything else. While the others, it's the basis of the rasa. But in Vrindavan, it's not the basis of the rasa at all. Right? Because when they come to the rasa dance, and it's all of them and one Krishna, they're still just as attracted. And then when he expands and he's with each one of them, that just continues. You know, it's not like, oh, finally, you know. Is that amazing? If numerous forms, all equal in their features, are displayed simultaneously, such forms are called Prakash Vigrahas of the Lord. Footnote 9. This is a quotation from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita 121, compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami.
So this Prakash Vigraha, they are the same person, but they can do different things at the same time.
Yes. Because that's the things the yogis can't. He expands his nine, but they all technically all have to do the same thing. You know, so, I mean, if you were doing, a chorus line, you know, or doing some Broadway, you know, musical, it would be fabulous. I mean, they could go get Olympic awards because they're all so exactly doing everything the same. You know, no one could be able to figure out how do they do this, right? You know, nobody ever sees them practice or anything, you know, like that. And yeah. So, but here is that he can, because he's the master of all mystic cities, therefore, with each gopi, he can be doing something different, though it's him, the exact same personality. So everybody's getting the same experience. Yes.
I was just thinking that when Krishna, when Draupadi meets with the queens, then they all tell her how they met Krishna and got married to Krishna,
yes.
Each one.
Yes.
And they release these relationships. But when we are talking about that Krishna expand himself into 16,108 forms, and that each queen think that he's only with me.
Yes.
When they talk like this, then will they not also like understand like... He's also with everyone else.
But is it about themselves or is it about Krishna?
No, it's about Krishna. And they
yes, so if it's about Krishna, then are they going to think like that? No, so it won't come up.
It's a sweet life.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But when the numerous forms are slightly different from one another, they are called Vilas Vigrahas. When the Lord displays numerous forms with different features by his inconceivable potency. Such forms are called Vilas Vigrahas. Footnote 10. This is another quote from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita 115. Examples of such Vilas Vigrahas are Baladev, Narayan in Vaikuntha Dham, and the Chaktavyuha Vasudev Sankarshav Prajumnanani Ruda. The energies, consorts of the Supreme Lord, are of three kinds, the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, the queens in Dwarka, and the gopis in Vrindavan. The gopis are the best of all, for they have the privilege of serving Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord, the son of the king of Braja. The personal associates of the primeval Lord Sri Krishna are his devotees, who are identical with him. He is complete with his entourage of devotees. Right? So it includes the devotees, like we were discussing in the Pancharatra, that you're going to approach Krishna through the devotees. Right? Because when we say the Artik has three features. It means any ritual has three features. The preliminary aspect, the main body of the ritual, and then the conclusion, or you know, the ending of the ritual. So any activity has that. Like you want to cook, you have to set up the kitchen, get things, buy things, plan things, all that. Then you're going to cook, and then there's afterwards. You know, cleaning the kitchen and all these kind of things. So everything has like that. So when you worship the Lord, then you're going to have the preliminaries of approaching Him through the spiritual master and the devotees. Then you'll have the worship of Krishna. Right? Then you're going to, after that, as we said before, there's the avaranas, the associates of the Lord in that. Therefore, then, having walked to Krishna, then all the associates, then you come back down the parampara, there's Tulsi, there's the devotees, you know, that come for the artik, like this. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's one thing. Right? So we have to understand that Krishna is he's non-dual. Then he's complete. That's what it says. The personal associates of the primeval Lord, Sri Krishna, are his devotees who are identical with him. He is complete with his entourage of devotees. Right? So then it's complete. Like the Panchatattva is the complete form. So they all go together. Does that make sense? So this thing where you offer the thing, you say, Lord Chaitanya, then you take off a flower, because then, you know, then otherwise, because if you show Oshota Nityananda Dvaita Gadadhar, then if you give it back to Lord Chaitanya, it's their prashad, and then that's offensive, and then you'll go to hell, and this and that, and earth will open up, you'll fall in, and all these kind of jazz. This is just mundane concept. You know, even after showing to the devotees, oh, now it's totally, you know, as you show to the devotees, the flowers wither up like that. And until at the end, when the final, it just turns into dust, and you just kind of, you know, bang it on the wall and just, you know, outside, so it falls on the floor out there, you know. And then, you know, and even best is just leave the plate outside, you know, so it's touched by all that kind of stuff. But the point is after offering to the devotees, now the Lord has been worshipped. Now you can give him the flowers. That's the actual understanding. This other has been made up by people who think too much. Like that. But it's popular. Because it makes sense to the mundane mind. But in actuality, there's no need. Krishna, without his associates, it said, means if you perform the puja but don't do swadhyaya, it's not complete. Swadhyaya means then all the other aspects. There's just five direct aspects. So then you have, it means deity worship is the one, but then the other five are the other aspects of swadhyaya. So taking care of Tulsi, guests, the Vaishnavas, all these things. If you don't do that, your puja isn't complete. It's called Panchanga Puja. Right? So then one of them is the actual worship. Before you get up in the morning, you prepare yourself, you get yourself ready and chant and put tilak and bathe and dress and all, go to the temple like that, you know, offer obeisances. That's approaching the temple. That's the first one. Then gathering paraphernalia, that's the second one. Then purifying the paraphernalia, placing the paraphernalia, bringing all the paraphernalia up to the spiritual platform, and then and yourself, and then worshiping, you know, Guru, Gauranga, and all this is preliminary worship. That's then the third one. Fourth one is the actual worship of the deities with 16 items. But the 16th, as we call it, within the puja includes the avarana, the associates and everything like that. And that's then four. So it already has to include there, right? And the yoga meant the associates. Then in the fifth one, swadhyaya, that's where you associate with Vaishnavas and devotees and Tulsi and take prasad and charinamrita and do your service for the deities and all that. Then it's complete. That's why Kapila Muni then in the third canto is saying someone who just respects him in the temple but not other living entities, then his worship is not that satisfying. Because he's not actually doing Panchanga Puja. He's not following the recommendation of Scripture. It means all, worship means all of this. Is that something? Yeah. Yes. Now I have worshipped all the various levels of devotees. Worshipping them is the source of all good fortune. Right? So having worshipped all that, then now you can say. So it has to have that completeness to it. Srila Prabhupada. To offer prayers to the Lord, one should first offer prayers to his devotees and associates. Otherwise, then how are you going to, what's the meaning? Because Krishna is not just on its own. It's not just you and Krishna. It's Krishna, his associates, and then we can follow in the footsteps of those associates. Right? That's Rag Anuga. Right? Otherwise, it would be us Anuga. Okay. So that's that. So that ends the commentary on verse 1. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we go to the next group of verses that will be commentary on verse 2.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.